Welcome back to a new edition of our Diocesan podcast, Big City Catholics, with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Diocesan Bishop of Brooklyn and Queens, myself, Father Christopher Henu here. We are back together in the podcast studio after exciting news with our new Holy Father and the continuation of our Easter season. We've got a lot to talk about in the Diocesan world here in Diocese of Brooklyn and Queens. We'll start with prayer, of course, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I take this prayer from the prayers of the Church for ministers of the Church. O God, who have taught the ministers of your Church to seek not to be served, but to serve their brothers and sisters, grant, we pray, that they may be effective in action, gentle in ministry, and constant in prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
How appropriate you chose that prayer. We'll be talking about jubilarians in a number of ways. But as you said before, wow, we've been sort of riding this roller coaster of mourning, of interceding, of giving thanks for our Holy Father. Last week, we were able to get together on the day of the announcement of our new Holy Father and react almost immediately.
That's right.
And that was a great opportunity. But while all of this was going on, at the same time, the life of the Church continues.
That's
so
right.
We have all kinds of things that take place, especially at Easter time. Parishes are celebrating First Communions. I'm in the midst of confirmation season. You're seeing stories, and we're experiencing it, of a growing number of young people making their way to church in recent months, and that would validate our own experience. So there were great, great things happening. But in the life of the ordinary year of the Church, we celebrate joyful things like religious professions and ordinations in the spring. We also then have anniversaries of those events. And so earlier in the season, we celebrated the religious jubilarians, the sisters and the brothers who were celebrating particular anniversaries. We had 25, 50, 60, 65, 70, and 75. We even had 75.
Wow.
Yeah. And somebody was there. What a great, great blessing. Consider somebody who went into religious life at 18 years old and has completed 75 years. I mean, you talk about the majority of her life was spent as a sister. They came from all different religious congregations, and that was a joyful celebration. Beautiful Mass, very, very prayerful. We celebrated at Immaculate Conception Center in Douglaston, and then they have a nice early dinner afterward, and that's always a great party. One of the highlights of the year is the party for that celebration. And I thank Sister Marianne LaPiccolo and the Council of religious who really work hard to put that event together. So we were glad for that. But we also celebrated similar anniversaries of jubilarians, of the priests who celebrate anniversaries. And they're all celebrating individually in their own parishes. It's frightening for me to see. This was not part of the day. But just the other day, a classmate of mine and I were discussing the guys who were the senior guys in the seminary when we were just beginning are now celebrating 40th anniversaries. Like, oh man, that was a bit of a wake-up call. But at this event, we celebrated 25, 50, 65, and even 70. We had a priest who celebrated 70 years. We acknowledged him at the Chrism Mass, but we also celebrated his anniversary.
Yeah, Father Dominic Catrone, 70 years a priest in his mid-90s now, and still very active, drives, assists in the parish, and is well-loved. And he was able to celebrate a Mass at Our Lady of Grace Parish in Brooklyn. In this week's edition of the Tablet, there's a section of those honoring those who are celebrating their Jubilee years, their 25th, their 50th, their 65th, and their 70th. And what a great biography behind all of them. This is what really strikes me, both for religious and for priests, as we offered this prayer at the beginning for the ministers of the Church, the work that these men and women have been called to, just being open to the work of the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is the season of the Spirit. This is
calling on the Holy Spirit, become Holy Spirit. But we see the action of the Holy Spirit in the life of our Church right here before us.
It says that they may be effective in action, gentle in ministry, and constant in prayer. And these men and women have been just that, effective in action, gentle in ministry, constant in prayer. The jubilarians of the religious brothers and sisters that have served our schools, served our parishes, served in hospital ministry at the time, chaplains in hospitals now, they are an essential part of what goes on in the parish and the role of our diocese.
One of the things I noted was, and I've noted this over the last couple of years, for a while, we saw a real dip in the 25-year, both religious life and in ordination, that was heavily weighted toward the older ones. Now you're starting to see a little bit of a dip in the 50-year group, but I'm seeing an uptick in the 25-year group. And that has a number of reasons behind it. So some of it has to do with some of the religious communities, and yes, and some of the guys who were in and who were staying at that time, but also the international priests and religious who breathe new life, and the new communities of religious who are breathing new life into the church. So you do see something of a springtime in terms of religious life and of ministerial priesthood. So that's something I give a great deal of thanks to God for.
Yeah. Now, these religious and priests certainly have done a great job working in our schools traditionally. Unfortunately, not as many are present in our schools these days. It's just the reality of our Catholic school system here in the Northeast. But we also had a chance to celebrate our schools recently, Bishop, and that was an awesome celebration at the Co-Cathedral. We had our eighth graders from all of our Catholic academies throughout the diocese, so many that we had to split it into two masses, consecutive Fridays, filling the Co-Cathedral, 900 kids each mass or so.
Wonderful. So, you know, we mentioned earlier when we had the mass for the high school students, and then this time we had the elementary school student. What I'm impressed by is the fact that these kids come in, you see them getting off the bus and they're full of energy and they're friendly and they make connections. So if I've been to the school, they remember that encounter. They're having a good time with each other. They come into the church and there's a sense of reverence. Yeah. But on the other hand, we have music beforehand, sort of like the warm-up music, some praise and worship music, get them on their feet and singing, praising God. But when Mass begins, you could hear a pin drop.
That's right.
Except when it came time to respond. They all responded. They know what to do. You can see that going to Mass is a part of their experience of Catholic education. Now, our pastors tell me, and I lament it myself, that I wish there were more of the families themselves going to Mass, connecting what we do in the school with what happens in family life. But statistics say that our Catholic schools are our best chance at having that. So that's one piece. So even if it's poor, it's above average. And then the average isn't so great. But on the other hand, it's our best shot. And it's something that becomes very, very familiar, part of who they are and how they pray. I'm incredibly, incredibly proud of them. And there's a lot of joy. This is an exciting time of the year for our eighth grade students. They've kind of chosen their high school of choice. They're getting ready. You see some of them coming in wearing the sweatshirts of their intended high schools. Right now, they're at the top of the hill, the kings and queens of the school. But these weeks, at the end of the year, they're still serious because a lot of them have exams. You know, there's a certain amount of fun. But a lot of them are taking New York State Regents exams because they're in these programs that are accelerated. So it's not that the eighth grade or the end of eighth grade is
a breeze
for them. They've got serious work to do, but there's a different atmosphere, a different tenor, and you can sense that. And they're looking forward to their graduation from the schools.
I'll say two things, I just appreciated so much having the young kids in the Co-Cathedral and welcoming them, as you mentioned in the beginning of your homily, welcome home. What does that mean? Welcome home. But, you know, just to explain the significance of the cathedral to them. But I also had a chance to meet the students of my future parish of St. Joan of Arc.
Oh, I noticed a mutual happiness there, right? So they were eager to greet you. The principal was eager to greet you.
I was so happy.
And I could see that you were drawn right to them.
Yeah. And I got to talk with each one and I said, where are you going to high school? And, you know, all but two or three had Catholic high schools. And I just was struck by what an importance that is, Bishop, for us, our grammar schools as a feeder for our Catholic high schools, and that necessary relationship to work between high schools and grammar schools, that it's in everyone's best interest that Catholic schools succeed, both from the grammar parochial to high school to college.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Positively. And just just a note about you. People tell me, and I agree with them, they're sad about your completing your term here. It's not really completing your term. It's an early end of your completion of your term here at the Coke Cathedral, but you've done a great job here and brought a certain energy here. And I'll always be grateful for that. And we're going to build on that. Father Keating is going to serve here as rector, and we're going to continue to build on the good work that you did. But I can see the energy you bring to the Catholic education. And I think that's going to be a wonderful experience for
you
in Jackson Heights.
I'm excited. I certainly am. To have a school and a parochial school there by my side. And I always found, and I think we've mentioned once or twice here on this podcast, that any day that may be challenging or difficult in the office and the parish life, when you can go just across the street to the school and just spend like time in the first grader classroom or second grader, the innocence, the joy, you know, there's no problems when you're there. And it's just a very exciting experience. And just have that priestly presence for them is also very important too.
You know, Father Henry, if you would allow me, I'm going to veer off topic for a minute, not far off topic, but an important development took place this week in the Congress with the federal government. And it has to do with education choice. This would be a big deal for us. It's a way of bringing the opportunity for parents to choose through scholarships. So it's a very different thing, but it's also a very, very complicated reality. And so we want to start to get people paying attention to this. But as I understand it, there'd be a very substantial amount of money available, that this is not government grants, but it is a tax credit. So that if I were to give a certain amount of money to, and there are limits, but they're pretty good limits for most people, certainly within where I am, there are limits, but you would be able not only to deduct it, you wouldn't just deduct it from your income, but it's a tax credit. So that's incredibly valuable. So it allows people to give to scholarship programs, and then the eligibility for the scholarship programs becomes very generous. So that, in fact, parents can make substantial choices for Catholic education. Right now, it's in the early days. It came out of committee, and we were thrilled that it came out as it was written. Now, to get it passed on the floor, the prospects look good. It's attached to another bill that's popular. But we have to start getting ready, because we need to become aware so that organizations like Our Futures in Education and like our high schools are right there to be able to facilitate, because you don't just write a check and write it off. You have to apply it to a particular scholarship program. So awareness is going to be a key thing. Advocacy is going to be a big thing. And then again, in terms of our parents who are eligible, this isn't charity. This is about them making informed choices using what's, you know, intended for education. So I'm so proud of our Catholic education. We have a huge opportunity before us, and we want to make sure that we're well educated on it. And we'll be working on that in the next couple of months.
And that goes exactly with what we're talking about. I mean, it goes to the idea of supporting the viability of keeping our schools alive, thriving, and allowing.
And allowing. That's the key thing. And accessible. Making it possible for people to do this. So that's a good thing. Yes, so we're proud of all students, our Catholic school students, but also all of our students who are going to be transitioning from one period in their life to another, whether it be the very little ones, the eighth graders, the kids starting high school, kids finishing college. I'll be at my alma mater, St. John's, this weekend for graduation. And I look forward to that. And, you know, we were talking about our priest, one of our jubilarians celebrating 65 years is Monsignor Jim Kelly. Monsignor Kelly is being honored at St. John's for his work in immigration. He's been a tremendous advocate for years and years and years. And I'm thrilled that I'll be there as he's honored, but I'll also be thrilled for all the students. He has an interesting history. Irish born, Irish educated, I believe, and came here and began serving in St. Bridget's Parish. And I think it was 1961 and has been there ever since.
The diocese must have lost his file or something, because I don't know what the trick is.
But the interesting story he tells us, and this is the story of Brooklyn and Queens, is while he stayed in the same place for all those years, the place changed. He went to a place, to a German parish.
Yeah.
It was named St. Bridget, built for the Irish. He said, but the Irish never really settled in Ridgewood. He said, my family did. And then he saw the Italian immigration. He saw the Spanish, and not so much in St. Bridget's, but in the area, a great deal of Polish immigration. Mm-hmm. So he's seen many, many changes in that area, but he's always been an advocate, especially for those who are struggling And so we're very, very grateful for his powerful witness, and ad multos annos to him.
Amen. Yeah, good. You know.
And if I may, while we're talking about advocates and people who worked hard for the immigrant community, the church in New York lost two powerful, beautiful servant voices, like real humble servants for the immigrant community, for the Hispanic community, particularly the Dominican community. I was at the funeral earlier this week for Bishop Walsh, Bishop Jerry Walsh. He served many roles in the church as an auxiliary bishop. He was a seminary rector. He worked in personnel. He was Cardinal O'Connor's priest secretary. That's how I first got to meet him. I was working for Bishop McGann while he was working for Cardinal O'Connor. But what a man of integrity and goodness and a storyteller. But his real love was parish life up in Washington Heights.
St. Elizabeth's, right?
Right. Here at home, we lost Monsignor Thomas Healy, and I loved Monsignor Healy. I got to know him early on when I came here. I didn't know him before, but I knew him at St. Michael's, and I got to know him when he came to Douglaston as well. He was always a great champion for the poor, but for the immigrant. He would tell me, he said, Bishop, I still have a little juice in me. He says, and I speak Spanish the way I speak English. It's like in my blood. And I remember when I was at Our Lady of Sorrows in September for the feast day, he came, he beamed. The parish was so excited, and he walked the procession. People would say, oh, you don't have to walk, we'll help you. And he says, I walk every day. And he did. He was a great one for walking. But his funeral actually will be celebrated the day that this podcast is released. But two very similar kinds of individuals who gave their lives in servant leadership. So God be good to both of them.
Amen. Yeah, eternal rest grant upon them. Bishop, perhaps with that in mind, you could offer us a prayer to conclude our podcast and just to give thanks to God for all the good that's happening in our diocese.
Excellent. During the Easter season, I pray that prayer of the Queen of Heaven Rejoice, Regina Caeli. We use it instead of the Angelus. We use it in place of the Hail Holy Queen at the end of night prayer. I love the prayer because it's a bit of imagination. Just imagine the apostles crying out to Mary, as the church has through all generations, Mary, rejoice. Jesus is risen. We're so happy. And then Mary's sitting there saying, yeah, I know. I know. But yes, we rejoice with Mary. And you know, in all the activity in the church, in the world, here at home, we can't lose sight of the fact that just last Sunday, too, we celebrated Mother's Day. And so Pope Leo, he said, Bona Festa to all the mothers here on earth and in heaven. And so my hope is that everyone had a great Mother's Day. To all the mothers, please know our heartfelt thanks. As we offer this prayer, we keep you also in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Queen of Heaven, rejoice.
Alleluia.
For the Son whom you merited to bear,
alleluia,
has risen as he said.
Alleluia.
Pray for us to God.
Alleluia.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary.
Alleluia.
For the Lord is truly risen.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. And thanks again to all who continue to join us each and every week on our diocesan podcast, Big City Catholics. We hope you'll join us again next week. God bless.